Homer Sampson, 12589.
The Battle of Mill Springs. Written in honor and with due respect for all those noble men who gave their lives for a cause they thought was best for our country. I am a rebel soldier. I live from day to day. I take my captain's orders and march the rugged way. And when the day is over, on blankets we lie down to wait the coming of the dawn and hear our captain say, "Stand ready, boys, 'tis Jeff's command. The enemy is near. On you our success must depend, and you should have no fear. For when this war is over and our heritage secure, we'll send old Abe across the sea, and he'll return no more." I saw the smoke arising, it seemed to touch the sky. I heard the tramp of cavalry, and I heard their battle cry. I saw the Yankees coming, and I heard their angry yell. And my feelings at that moment, no human's tongue could tell. Go tell my little sister, it ne'er no more can be, that I shall sit around the fire and take her on my knee and sing to her those good old songs that she loved to hear me sing. For her brother lies here dying at the Battle of Mill Springs. Now, am I too close or not?
That's okay.
This is all right? The Battle of Mill Springs, written in honor of my own grandfather and with in due respect for all of those noble men who gave their lives for a cause they thought was best for our country. I am a rebel soldier. I live from day to day. I take my captain's orders and march the rugged way. And when the day is over, on blankets we lie down to wait the coming of the dawn and hear our captain say, "Stand ready, boys, 'tis Jeff's command. The enemy is near. On you our success must depend, and you should have no fear. For when this war is over and our heritage secure, we'll send old Abe across the sea, and he'll return no more." I saw the smoke arising, it seemed to touch the sky. I heard the tramp of cavalry, and I heard their battle cry. I saw the Yankees coming, and I heard their angry yell. And my feelings at that moment, no human's tongue could tell. Go tell my little sister it ne'er no more can be, that I shall sit around the fire and take her on my knee, and sing to her them good old songs that she loved to hear me sing. For her brother lies here dying at the Battle of Mill Springs. This song was written in honor of all those noble men who gave their lives for a cause they thought was best for our country, and for my own grandfather, Harvey Sampson, who served under Stonewall Jackson until Jackson was killed. And then he went on to survive the war and lived his life out in Calhoun and Clay counties as an ordained Baptist minister. I am a rebel soldier, I live from day to day. I take my captain's orders and march the rugged way. And when the day is over, on blankets we lie down to wait the coming of the dawn and hear our captain say, "Stand ready, boys, 'tis Jeff's command, the enemy is near. On you our success must depend, and you should have no fear. For when this war is over and our heritage secure, we'll send old Abe across the sea, and he'll return no more. I saw the smoke arising, it seemed to touch the sky. I heard the tramp of cavalry, and I heard their battle cry. I saw the Yankees coming, and I heard their angry yell, and my feelings at that moment no human tongue could tell. Go tell my little sister it ne'er no more can be, that I shall sit around the fire and take her on my knee, and sing to her them good old songs that she loved to hear me sing. For her brother lies here dying at the Battle of Mill Springs." "Salem's Bright King" is an old hymn that I heard my father sing about 70 years ago, I suppose. That's when that song was popular. So the title is "Salem's Bright King." "Salem's bright king, Jesus by name, in ancient time to Jordan came. In ancient time to Jordan came, all righteousness to fill. 'Twas there an ancient Baptist stood, whose name was John, a man of God, whose name was John, a man of God, to do his master's will. Down in old Jordan's rolling stream, the Baptist led the Holy Lamb. The Baptist led the Holy Lamb, and there did him baptize. This is my son, Jehovah Christ, on him to rest the Spirit flies. On him to rest the Spirit flies. Oh, hear him, children, hear. Oh, hear him now, Jehovah cries, repent, believe, and be baptized. Repent, believe, and be baptized, and you shall wear a crown. The house carpenter. Now, this is a number that come all the way down through my family from my great-grandfather, who came over from Ireland. I can't say about 1825 or 30, along about that time is when he came over. So this house carpenter is a song that's been passed on down from him down to our family. Well met, my own true love. Well met, says he. I've just returned from the salt briny sea, and 'twas all for the love of thee. I once could have married a king's daughter fair. She fain would marry me, but her golden chains I did refuse, and 'twas all for the love of thee. Well, if you could have married a king's daughter fair, I'm sure you are to blame, for I have married a house carpenter, and I think he's a fine young man. Well, if you will leave your house carpenter and go along with me, I'll take you where the grass grows so green, on the banks of Italy. Well, if I should leave my house carpenter and go along with thee, what have you for to maintain me on, to keep me from slavery? I have 7 ships on the salt briny sea, a sailing to Guyane, and if you will come and go with me, They shall rule at your command. She picked up her tender little babe, and kisses gave it three, saying, "You stay here till I come back, and keep your papa company." She dressed herself in richery and viewed herself around, and as she walked the streets, they say, she shone like a glittering crown. They had not sailed not very long, weeks more than two or three, till she sat down in her true lover's boat, and she wept most bitterly. "Now do you weep for gold," he said, "or do you weep for store, or do you weep for your house carpenter that you left on yonder shore?" "I do not weep for gold," she said, "I do not weep for store, but I do weep for my tender little babe that I never shall see anymore." They had not sailed not very long, weeks more than three or four, till the ship sprung a leak in the middle of the deep, and they sank for to rise no more.
This number is the Old Arkansas Traveler. Was originated in West Virginia. And I heard a little bit of this number when I was a boy, helping one of my neighbors to haul the corn out of the cornfield as the others were shucking. We had the mules and the wagon out there loading it. And his father, I heard his father sing a little bit of that, Old Arkansas Traveler. And from there, just the little bit that I got of it, without the intention of having him to copy it for me or anything of that nature, so just naturally forgot about the song until late years. Now I know that it's a West Virginia number, and entitled the Arkansas Traveler. In 1844, I left my country home. I caught a southbound freight train and I started out to roam. I went to Chattanooga and then to Chippewa, but I never knew what misery was till I reached Arkansas. 'Twas there I met with hobos that came from everywhere. They taught me how to catch a train and smoke their RJR. They took me down to Little Rock and showed me to their den, where every hungry hobo is invited to come in. And 'twas there I met with J.B. King, a slim from Louisville. He was always called the hobo, and I guess he always will. He could stand beside the railroad track, and as the train rolled by, could ride JBK on any car as it went rolling by. I started out next morning to catch an early train. He said, "You'd better stay with me, for I have some good to drink. I'll pay you 15 cents a day, and you're board and washing free. And I'll bet you'll be a different man when you leave Arkansas." He fed me on corn dodger as hard as any rock, till my teeth begin to loosen and my knees begin to knock. I got so thin on sassafras I could hide behind a straw, and that was the way with all the gents in the state of Arkansas.
Through my own family. See, my sister married a King. And J.B. King, he was a noted rambler. That's all he done. He didn't do anything else but ramble. And I don't know how he got his money, but he was well enough off that he was part of that there establishment that they had at Little Rock, Arkansas. Yeah, he was one of the leaders and helped to, you know, make that a place for the hobos. They just come in there. Mm-hmm. Any hobo come along was invited in there. That's where they met. That was in Little Rock, Arkansas. Mm-hmm. And so that there, he was known as the hobo. He was known as the hobo because he could write his name on a car as it passed him. That is his initials. He put his initials on a car. And there was some way, I don't know whether it was a government award or what it was, but he was bound to have something to help him with all that, you know, to make a place for hobos to stop and eat and live, you know, and stay overnight or a month if they wanted to. He'd keep them right there. So I would say that there was a state award possibly for that. And he got it. And he was from Louisville, not from, he's from Louisville, Kentucky. But there he was in Arkansas with all these other hobos. So, I might just write that over and see what story I can make out of that.
Let's see, was what we call this Abe's Retreat, didn't we? Let me see.
We have a little fiddle number here that is known as Abe's Retreat. Happened during the Civil War. So here it is. Abe's Retreat. Thank you.
here comes Sally coming through the rye.
Find him out.
Missed the last note on it.